You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Benny and the Bets.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome in. It is Benny and the Bets. We are heading into week 8 of the NFL season. The World Series is underway as well. We are presented by, of course, by the good people over at PXG and PXG Kansas City. The first guest I ever brought on was a gentleman by the name of John Lindheimer. And for anybody that knows John, John was in this industry for many, many years and brought some industry secrets, things where you could go beyond the behind the curtain a little bit from somebody who both was a professional bettor for decades and then somebody who had been running a book. And I was introduced randomly to our guest this week, a gentleman by the name of Rafael Esparza, who you should be following for a lot of these insights on Twitter, on X, whatever you're calling it these days, at VSIDocSports.com by way of Gus Cangill's show over in New Orleans. I do a weekly it there. And the moment that I heard Rafael as a guest host on this show, and I was talking about some of the lines and information that I had been hearing about over the course of the week, the moment, Rafael, that you started talking, I was like, oh, I think I might know some stuff. This guy definitely knows some stuff. And then I started to learn a little bit more about you. This is an industry that you've been in for many, many years. And I'm so grateful to have you on to not only talk about this week's slate, but also give our listeners a sense to once again go behind the curtain and view the Wizard of Oz, so to speak, again. So thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, I would say I was also introduced to you by my buddy Gus over in ESPN New Orleans. I do his show, I think, three times or whatever. I don't know how many times I'm on his show. But I was listening to you multiple weeks, and I've always asked him, who's this Benny guy? Because Viserios likes to sing Benny in the Bets every time you come on. So we got introduced on social media, and I was excited when you asked me to come on. But yeah, I'm old school. I mean, I'm almost 25 plus years in the industry, so I'm a dinosaur when it comes to sports betting.
All right, so let's kind of walk through that timeline a little bit. When you first got involved in the industry, when you first started doing some bookmaking, take me through kind of your initial process then versus how much it's evolved and changed over the last 20 plus years.
I'll start legally, not illegally. I'll start legally, the process of it. I got hired at Caesar's Palace in 97, 98. And it was one of those moments where your first day, you got juiced in. My first day, they've cleaned house. They fired a whole bunch of people my first day because some people were writing tickets for themselves. I mean, it was a whole investigation part kind of it. And they asked me, hey, do you know how to work a computer and change TVs? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, so okay, you're not going to be a ticket writer. We need you to be an admin. And your job is to switch TVs, put all the sports betting information on the boards, stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, cool. So I got paid to watch TV, but I learned so much back then from guys of Vinny Marullo, who's over at VSiN, Rich Bacciolieri, who's over at Circa, Lamar Mitchell, who runs BetMGM, Adam, who runs Caesars and stuff like that. I worked with all those guys, and I was there for a couple years. And then the management crew got all hired at MGM, and they actually brought me with them over to MGM. So I was a supervisor over at MGM. This is way in a sports book where they were the EFX, and we had to watch Rick Springfield perform, and the girls would go crazy after he would practice and stuff like that. So the old sports book of MGM, and just like I said, just worked my way, making odds. We were the first MGM. We were the first sports book to do WNBA odds. Me and the guy that runs Caesars, we were the first sports book to put WNBA odds. And I remember sweating those games because you barely get any action. And the boss says, we'll be kidding. They're like, oh, if you lose, you have to bring us lunch tomorrow or stuff like that. They would always bust chops and all that. So it was interesting. And like I said, just kept on working up through MGM properties. I worked on almost every MGM book. See, Bellagio, New York, New York. I opened up New York because that's when the ESPN Zone was there.
Right.
And they took me over there because I was doing all the media stuff. So I would just walk over to the ESPN, do interviews for media, stuff like that, and just go back to my office over there. So I worked over there at New York, New York. I worked at Mandalay Bay for a couple of months, Bellagio, the hub at the Mirage and stuff like that. So I was all over. And then the evilness of opening up a casino, they asked me to open up Aria, design it, everything. I said, no, I don't want to do it. So I decided to do it. And I tell people I would never open up a casino ever again because that's where all my gray hairs popped up. Because this picking carpet and TVs and bringing in your whole crew and working, I can probably say it. Billy Walters was there from day one until every day. So I had to deal with him every day. So that was probably why I got out of the industry. And I hated the corporate side of sports betting now, especially now in Vegas, where I always wanted to put up interesting prop bets and you had to go through gaming and it would be like, no, we don't want to. And no, we can't do this and stuff like that. I was tired of no, no, no. And so I got my opportunity to branch out into myself and to do other things. And at the same, it's funny, as soon as I left, I was getting phone calls from Global Books and stuff like that. Hey, you want to do consulting work? We need someone to help us to do wrestling prop. Because I was already kind of ghostwriting for WWE at the time, doing wrestling prop bets for pay-per-views and stuff like that. So my name was already getting out there. So I was just, people were like, hey, we need odds for more Oscar bets and we need odds for movies. And then when the Game of Thrones came out, that's when the prop bets for entertainment like kind of blew up because I was the first person to put up Game of Thrones odds. And so it was just crazy. Now, like I said, now I just do consulting work for a whole bunch of U.S. books now. Because I think U.S. books are starting to realize political betting is like a big cash cow and some of the less entertainment, not like the weird ones, but like, you know, stuff that you can see on TV, Dancing with the Stars and all that. You're going to start probably seeing more books carry that kind of stuff.
There's so many different avenues that I want to follow up on. I feel like I have to start with your best Billy Walters story from the times and interactions that you had with him when you were opening up Aria.
He was and his whole crew, because people just thought it was him that would come up to the window. It was 99% of the time it wasn't him, but it was his crew. But we would deal with him through phones and stuff like that. Hey, because there'd be times like, hey, he would bet one side because he would have limits, and then we would need that side, and we would call like, hey, we'll give you extra if we need this side. You want it again? We'll give you for this and stuff like that. So it was more phone calling than him. And of course, he would come in some days and collect cash tickets and collect his earnings. I don't have one particular story. He was really really bad at NBA when I was dealing with him. I mean, he would crush us in football and college basketball and stuff like that. I could honestly think I've never saw him just crush us on one NBA evening. But his whole crew, they were nothing but kind. Everyone gives him a bad rap. I mean, I can't say if he gave a bad rap, but all his people he worked for him that we dealt with, we're nothing but nice guys. They were respectful, treated all my ticket writers respectful. Billy was always respectful when he came in and stuff like that. So I thought he always got a bad rap. I've never seen the bad rap, but what I always saw, he was nothing but kind, and his whole crew was nothing but kind. But I've never met a guy. That's why everyone says, oh, I'm 60% on free plays, or I'm killing in the NFL, I'm 80%. I've only met two people in the sports gambling industry that I could probably honestly say they were a little bit better than 60-65% of the time.
And Billy was one of them.
And he is one of them.
It is pretty interesting. And I think it actually ties in really well with the entertainment prop side of what you're doing. Because I think what's fascinating now about the industry, and again, this is from the perspective of somebody who got into sports betting and sports betting content by way of fantasy. When I got to Kansas City about 10 years ago, I was trying to get myself in an opportunity to not only produce our afternoon drive show at 6:10 here in Kansas City, but I was looking for more on-air time. And the first on-air break that I had was to host our Sunday morning fantasy football show. And that was when fantasy was starting to evolve too. It wasn't just the season-long league. DraftKings and FanDuel were slowly implementing a daily side. And now that's, you can argue, it's a more popular version. And then from there, you start getting into more of the prop side of fantasy. And that was a world that was kind of cross-colliding as well. And then perhaps it gets overturned. So this slow evolution is sort of snowballing a little bit. And I think it leads into the aspect of all these different entertainment props that are now slowly becoming more and more available And by the way, I should mention too that you have a site, You Can Bet That, the letter U, youcanbetthat.com, where you're setting all these different odds that aren't available at a lot of these sportsbooks maybe yet, but you're slowly starting to see more of them from your role as a consultant get picked up by a lot of these legal sportsbooks as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way, especially now in sports gambling, more people bet first to score 25, over under points, rebounds, and assists, total kicking points. You're starting to see more action into that. So I kind of want to show the entertainment side of sports gambling, which is some people. It's funny, you talk to sports gamblers and they're either really happy because they run or they're really angry. And I kind of want to show, you know, it's fun. I mean, if you're that angry, then you're in the wrong profession or you're doing the substance totally, totally wrong out there. So I kind of want to bring the entertainment side of sports gambling. That's why I'm fond of doing all this. And it's great research. I tell people I do more research on movie prop bets and political stuff than I did for football and setting WNBA numbers and all that. It's crazy research and I love it.
Do you remember the one entertainment prop or maybe a series of them that really kind of blew up that got picked up far more than you ever would have anticipated?
Oh, Game of Thrones, by far. It was the when we started doing Game of Thrones odds, it was crazy. I remember I did one who was gonna show nudity first, like, and I listed all the female actresses and all that, and it was, yeah, I think Game of Thrones probably made it to a new level than what it was. I think the funniest my most entertaining one was Halloween Kills. I did how many firefighters will Michael Myers kill in the opening scene. And we had a couple of guys dispute it because I had to watch that scene probably 50 times counting how many kills, and it was ridiculous. But I think that was probably one of the funnier ones that I had to grade and help people grade tickets was the Michael Myers kills on the movie Halloween Kills.
All right, so we're gonna take a short break here. On the other side, I have a follow up for a lot of these because. Naturally, and I think about this when it comes to, say, like maybe the national anthem time at the Super Bowl, like you're starting to slowly see more of the legal sports books start to take these on. But inevitably, there's always going to be a few folks that truly have inside knowledge. So on the other side, Raphael, I'm going to ask you about the limits that are involved in setting these types of odds and what books can do to put themselves in a position where if somebody is getting that type of information, what they can do to make it as fair of a bet as possible. Plenty more conversation. Plus, we'll dive into Chiefs and Broncos, go through the latest odds, get Raphael's perspective as a bookmaker on how bettors should be looking to approach this game, plus some other plays ahead of Week 8. Stay with us. This is Benny and the Bets.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
All right, Raphael Esparza is with us here on Benny and the Bets. All right, so you gave this great example of all these different Game of Thrones prop bets that were made available and Halloween. And I actually, when I was writing and I was managing editor over at BetSided, one of our most successful articles were about setting odds for who was going to be the successor in succession for who was going to replace Kendall Roy. Yep. That was a big one for us as well. We got a ton of traffic for that piece. It wasn't readily available at any book. Maybe you had those odds and I just never came across them. I set them myself along with my buddy Joe Summers, who's in Kansas City. But how do you keep sort of the bad actors out? Is it just setting small limits on some of those? If there are writers of these movies and television shows that happen to come across these bets, how do you kind of keep them out of it to make sure that it's as fair as humanly possible?
It is. I mean, first of all, when I do the odds, I don't set the limits. I give them advice on them because some books are going to be a little bit heavy on entertainment by odds to others. So if it gets picked up multiple times, sometimes books will move my numbers. I'll make them stuff out and send it out and stuff like that, and they might move if they're a book that always bets favorites, then they probably juice up the favorite a little bit or whatever. I usually tell them, hey, the movie ones you could probably put up a little bit higher. Oscar nights, the weekend of, you can bump the odds a little bit higher and stuff like that because you're going to get two-way action, or you're going to get people who are just going to an Oscar party and going to try to bet all long shots. You'll get recovered on that one. So it all depends on what kind of book you're playing at and what's their discretion. I mean, I don't tell them, hey, put $1,000 in all these prop bets because again, I wanted to do these prop bets when I first got into the industry because I always complain about when football's over, sports books in Vegas are dead, period. A Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's no action. No one's watching the NBA in sports books. No one's watching hockey in sports books. When football's over, it's dead. I kind of wanted to know, how can we get more people into the sports books? How can we get people just to come in? And I thought, okay, maybe if we can put up prop bets, put low limits, they're going to have to cash their ticket and come back. Maybe they'll come back on a weekend, cash it, bet the football. So when the first company I started working for, I gave them that idea. It was an online site. I'm like, hey, here's my idea. You can track it. If I'm wrong, it's no sweat off me. I just want to try something. So they put up it was WrestleMania odds. And I said, every time someone cashes that ticket, you email them because it shows you what. I've been in Costa Rica many times and other offshores where you can, their online shows where the bets come from, what school country it comes from. And you can get there if they're logged in, if they have an account, you have their email address. I go, okay, you'll find out they're from Boston. You know what? Here, congratulations on your $25 bet on John Cena WrestleMania. Don't forget Boston Bruins are 25-1 to win the Stanley Cup, Celtics, blah, blah, blah. And you just write in the email. Click on it, and they did a study on how much we did that. People were rebetting all the time, future bets, stuff like that. So, like, hey, you got something here. And then it just started building on. More people started hearing about it. They're like, wait a minute, you're doing this, and then you're actually sending them emails and say, hey, yeah. I'm like, first of all, you're not getting a million bets on WrestleMania. You're only getting a couple. But those people, they're going to cash their $50. They're going to want to rebet it. Now they have a future ticket. Now they're stuck with your site for that future until that future is over with. So it's more of a kind of a circle of life when it comes to sports gambling. Not, ooh, I'm gonna kill the sports book because they got future prop bets on a TV show. I'm gonna kill them on the sports. But it's not that. It's all about just trying to keep them in your establishment.
No doubt, and finding the creative ways, and you're seeing that with sites like DraftKings now, where there's all sorts of profit boosts for a game. Maybe you weren't thinking about betting the Thursday night game, but now all of a sudden you have a 50% profit boost if you do a three-way parlay. Like, their marketing teams know a thing or two. Just like what you're talking about, like, they will find an opportunity for you to maybe think twice about it as opposed to saying, all right, I'm done for the night. That actually leads me to another question, because I think this is something that a lot of casual bettors aren't aware of. When it comes to releasing lines, I think most bettors would just assume that those behind the book are getting together in the conference room somewhere. All right, we got the week 8 slate. All right, Eagles at Commanders. What do you think? 7? 7? I don't know. I'd probably go 6.5 to try to get to 7. All right, well, we'll set it at 6.5. And then the next book is saying, maybe I like 7. Is that how it's done? And what is the process for where so many of these books are going to get their initial lines for the week? Is it all in-house, or is there other lines that are set and then they're just kind of adjusting up?
I mean, when I worked for MGM and properties, there was always like three of us, going back and forth and say, hey, this number 7. One book, hey, I looked it deeper into this last time these two teams played. The public here was betting all this, so you always know what your book is. If you're a favorite book or if you're a dog book, especially in Vegas, okay, you knew if Arizona was playing or San Diego was playing or the Raiders at the time were in California, we knew we were going to get heavy action on that. At MGM, we were a huge Green Bay Packer casino. I have no idea why we always got good action on Green Bay Packers. So we knew, all right, if it's 5.5, a lot of places, we're going to move it to 6. We're going to open it up at 6 because we already know we're going to get Green Bay Packer action no matter what number we're going to put up. So we know what books you are and stuff like that. So that's how we used to do adjust it from a lot. And again, if you open it up in a week in advance, you're going to get that two-way action no matter what. Even if you're a half point different than maybe the casino next door to you or another one, you're going to get that two-way action. But most likely, if you see that casino that has won a half a point different, they pretty much know, we need this action right away because this is what normally comes in at that time.
When it comes to maybe laying, I don't want to necessarily call it a trap line. I think that's maybe a bit overkill. But there's a lot of times, and you might go through the slate and say to yourself, okay, Jets and Giants, I think, is a great game to talk about from this perspective. And we'll talk about Chiefs and Broncos in a second, because I think Chiefs fans will be a little bit surprised in the line movement throughout the course of the week for this game. But the Jets and Giants, yeah, the Giants ended up winning a game last week against Washington, which certainly surprised a lot of people. But I still think you have a perception of the Jets as being a significantly better team than the Giants. Yet here we are for most of the week. It was at 3. Now all of a sudden it's almost universally 2.5. That's what it is at DraftKings right now, moving away from the Jets. And I think most casual bettors are saying, like, you're going to give me the Jets essentially in their home stadium at 2.5 against a dog crap Giants team that is still not having much identity on offense. And from a defensive perspective, of course you're going to give to the Jets. Why is that sort of the case? And how often are you noticing those type of lines where it kind of feels like you're sort of letting that trap for the public to say, this feels too good to be true?
Northern, when these teams play any type of kind of a rivalry game and at the home, and you're getting plus money on a home team, you're going to get home dog money right away. And that's what I saw right away. That's why most books were getting 3 even money on the Jets, and the Giants were 3 minus 120 in some books. I don't know if they're still out there. I haven't checked on that one. But that just tells me that it's this was a hard one to example, because the Giants are not that bad of a team than what their record shows. So with Taylor being as their quarterback, I think he moves the ball. I think he's in a nice little groove with the offense going on right now. So this one's a hard one. And then the Jets. Everyone buried the Jets when Aaron Rodgers played a blink of an eye. And every quarterback was coming out of retirement to play them. Every phone call I was getting, when are you going to put on more Jet quarterback practice? I'm like, I'm not putting. So that one's a tough, but it does seem like this one does seem like a trap one. There's 2 games that I think that are trap games. And it's funny, both 2 I think are traps, both are home dogs.
Okay, well, now I feel like I have to guess the other one. All right, so we got the Giants one. I'm actually on the Giants at +3. I'm going to guess that your other trap line might be the Steelers, 2.5 at home.
That is correct.
Look at me. Finally starting to throw with the Sharks a little bit.
If this game was in London, it wouldn't be a trap game because I'd be all over Jacksonville. I mean, I wish I had Jacksonville's freaking flyer miles, because you're racking it up. But this one seems fair. I mean, Pittsburgh played really well, coming off a big road win against the Rams. I know their offense is horrible, and Canada's probably going to be in Canada next year. I don't know if he's going to be the offensive coordinator. But, I mean, their offense is improving a little bit. So I'm a little bit shocked that you're getting home points from a yellow towel that's going to be all over the place because they're just coming off a big victory. I have a nice future ticket on the Pittsburgh Steelers to win a division. Everyone was crazy on it, but I think there's a good spot for them to show them, hey, you know what? We're still here.
Yeah, and if there's anything that I've learned over the years about Mike Tomlin, there has been nobody better in the NFL in covering not just as an underdog since 2007, but as a home dog. I think Tomlin, and I have to double check these numbers here, but something along the lines of like maybe 65 to 70% covering as a home dog over the course of his career. It almost feels like it's an auto bet. By the way, let me give you one more theoretical home dog that I think is a bit of a trap, especially coming off of last week. Green Bay Packers at home against the Minnesota Vikings, seeing anywhere between, let's see what DraftKings has it at. DraftKings has it as the Packers at +1.5.
Yeah.
That's going to be a money line bet for me to take Green Bay. Kirk Cousins, over the course of his career, has had all sorts of issues covering the spread after a straight up win. It's the times you want to bet Kirk Cousins are actually after straight up losses, where he's been one of the better covering quarterbacks in the NFL. It's always the roller coaster when it comes to Kirk Cousins. And I feel like this matchup in Green Bay is going to be exactly that.
That does, but I don't have faith in Love. And so that's the only thing that scares me. If there's any other quarterback, maybe even the Bears rookie quarterback, that I can't even pronounce his name. I think he delivered my pizza.
Secret agent man.
Yeah. I totally understand why people love Green Bay. Totally understand why people are going to bet that. But I would rather take the other 2 home dogs than the Green Bay Packers.
Before we talk about the Chiefs and the Broncos, there is a pretty remarkable trend happening. And I say it's remarkable, maybe from your years in this industry. It's not so much. And for anybody that was watching on KCTV5, our channel, our CBS affiliate here in Kansas City, everyone from KCSN has the opportunity to go on, and you guys should definitely check that out on KC Sports Tonight for anybody that's in the area here. But one of the things that I've taken away from the first 2 months of the season is that it is still very much the year of the under. We're seeing 64-41-1 for under so far in 2023. It's looking like the game right now, and we're taping this on a Thursday night, but there's a very good possibility that that game out in Buffalo ends up hitting the under as well. That leads me to the point of unders in prime time heading into week 8 are 16-7. And over the last 25 weeks, unders, when it counts to like which week had a winning week for unders versus overs versus draws, unders are 15-3-7 overall over the last 25 weeks. When it comes to the book's perspective, how much is likely to adjust in those lines that are being set for the totals? In other words, are these trends being noticed by Vegas, or is it really not? Does it really not matter until they start taking a loss with public starting to buy in on unders?
Well, it is. I mean, just look at some of the totals. I mean, there's a 41 of Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. There's 36.5 of Jets Giants, a 35 of Atlanta and Tennessee. So that you could tell. And it's funny. I did an interview this morning and one last night, and they both asked me the same question. What do you think? Oh, I'm like, the year of the quarterback is over, I think. I think now is the year of speed and defense. And that's why. I think the MVP race, I would have to say it is either McCaffrey or Tyree Hill. Before you would always have 1, 2, 3, or 4 quarterbacks before you even mention another player as an MVP. I just think right now the year of the quarterback is kind of fading a little bit, and now it's you need speed on the corners, you need speed on safeties and all that. I think that's why you're seeing a lot of these unders come in.
Okay, so now you have my attention, because it has been, since Adrian Peterson, the last time we've had a non-quarterback win MVP. So right now we're heading into week 8, and I'm trying to pull up the numbers as fast as I can when it comes to McCaffrey and Tyreek Hill when it comes to the actual MVP race. So right now, over in DraftKings, Mahomes here in Kansas City is the odds-on favorite, +275. Then Tua after them, Jalen Hurts at 5-1, Lamar, Josh Allen, all those guys. You have to go down to Christian McCaffrey, who I believe is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's the 9th guy on the board. He's 20-1 for the MVP. He scored a touchdown in the last 16 consecutive games. And then Tyreek Hill currently at 45-1. So you're saying on this show that even though we know what the history suggests with this award, that there is still very good value on the board for both of those two players to be worthy of an MVP consideration.
I do. And I know some books have offensive player of the year, and I think McCaffrey and Hill are the small favorites or close, like plus something. I think plus 120, plus 110. I don't remember what it was. I think the next one was Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes were like in the 20s. So I would say, yeah, there's some value just because Patrick Mahomes is getting it just because he's Patrick Mahomes. He's not getting it because he's having a Patrick Mahomes year. I mean, I've seen him have better years and better stats than he's doing right now. Same thing. I think Lamar, if I had to give one out now, I would give it Lamar Jackson, but before I give it to Patrick Mahomes. So I just think McCaffrey's not getting that much love just because of the quarterback, and he's being overshadowed by his quarterback. Well, maybe he's had two bad games, but I just think McCaffrey and Hill, yeah, give him some love. I mean, I'm sorry, if these guys were still blowing up numbers, then why are all these dead unders coming in?
Yeah, very, very fair point. I think the argument here in Kansas City as to why Mahomes is deserving is, have you seen the wide receiver room? It's not particularly impressive in Kansas City.
Tom Brady, he never had a really impressive wide receiver room either.
Fair enough. Absolutely. And in the early, he had that Randy Moss guy.
He was a prime Randy Moss.
No, but he got definitely a conversation for another day. And you're right. Like, the purely based off of the stats, Raphael, like I'm totally with you. Like, it's not the typical Mahomes numbers that we've seen, and the turnovers have been there. Certainly a little bit more so than we've become accustomed to, but a fascinating debate nonetheless. And if you are going to be going down that road for both McCaffrey or Tyreek Hill, it's probably the time to do it, because if these numbers continue, no quarterback at this point has really truly established themselves. By the way, if you do believe that the NFL is rigged and you're trying to make it all for show, you can't get Travis Kelce for NFL MVP at 200-1 if you're going to go full in on the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift mania.
I can't believe that. That's my biggest pet peeve. I have so many arguments on social media and on radios when we do phone calls. Like, it's, of course, every phone call comes in, the NFL is fixed and all that, and I just have to blow up, because until you actually work behind the counters and you see the money coming in, because I've done research when I worked at Mirage. We were the book that caught the Arizona State sports betting scandal for basketball. I've been in so many meetings I've been in so many meetings with the NCAA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, MLS when I worked in Vegas. So there's so much stuff that people don't see behind the scenes where a bookie maybe think of something and take some kid for college football. Yeah, for a couple of thousands, but there's no way an NFL game is going to be rigged. No way.
No chance. No, I'm fully with you. Now, maybe an NFL draft or an NBA draft, maybe in, you know, the mid-1980s.
Even with Pat Donahue in the NBA, he wasn't in casinos. He was mob related and bookie related. It had nothing to do with. He wasn't placing his bets at Caesar's Palace or the Rio in Las Vegas. So yeah, that's my biggest pet peeve. The sports, the NFL is fixed.
Right, and as someone who is a Bears fan in living in Kansas City, I can tell you, I can assure you that this is a league that is certainly not fixed. And if it was, those in Kansas City are certainly reaping the benefits of it. So you might as well enjoy the ride for as long as you can. I do want to mention, though, as we continue to have this conversation about everything that you can partake in when it comes to the world of sports betting. Especially now, because the NBA season did just kick off, and I'm sure you got some thoughts on the NBA tipping off again this week, Raphael, but the wait is finally over for those of you that have been betting NBA. If you haven't been betting college or NFL, this is the opportunity that you do not want to miss out on, because basketball is back, NFL is going on, college football, and all of it you can participate with over at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. They're celebrating the start of NBA season with a terrific offer. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets just for putting down $5 on the NBA. Win or lose, doesn't matter. You'll start the season with an instant dub. You can also take advantage of DraftKings parlays, because everyone's got a shot at even bigger basketball wins. Just string together multiple bets from the same game or build your parlay across multiple games for a shot at making your payday even sweeter. Basketball, football, whatever you're betting is just more fun when you are in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Go ahead and use that code KCSN. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5 only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code KCSN. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after they are issued. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Deep breath. Hoosah. Woo.
And I'll throw this out here for all you DraftKings better lovers out there in Kansas City. You know what happens pretty soon? November 6th, college basketball starts.
Oh, that's right. And we are going to have you covered, by the way, on Benny and the Bets, hoping that our guy Reed Wallach is going to be back on over at BetSided, one of the sharper college basketball guys I know. Raphael, you're definitely going to have to be back as well ahead of college basketball season, because there's just so many games to bet. And
I'll tell you this real quick. The best time to bet college basketball is a college football Saturday.
Oh, 100%.
Because I've done it when I was in the trenches, and I remember it was Notre Dame, USC, and everyone's concentrating on that, and some guy at one window bet $2,200 on a Sun Belt game, and we forgot to move it, and we took three other bets the same dollar amount, but three other bets that would have circled it and stuff like that, and we just forgot about it because everybody was focused on college football. Everyone was getting ready to, because Notre Dame USC was kicking off, so you can get some very, very soft numbers during that time. Hey, college basketball money is the same as football money. I tell people that.
By the way, to that point, some of my I didn't bet as much WNBA this year as I did last year when I was working full time and in sports betting content. But I loved betting on the WNBA during.
Oh yeah. CFL, WNBA, oh yeah. I tell people, I love it when people are like, oh, I only bet football now. Why? Oh, because I love NFL. Or I love, whoa, last time I checked, World Series money is the same as college football Saturday money. WNBA finals money is the same as NFL Monday Night Football money.
Yeah, and more often than not, it's those type of moments, and there's so many more resources now, too. Like, you can go to a site like BetStamp is where I like to track my bets publicly, or Unabated, which has everything in real time. Where you can catch the sportsbook napping a little bit. Maybe it's a first quarter play, and one book has it at 9.5, and the other just moved it to 13.5. And all of a sudden, you got 4 points on a first quarter play for a Sun Belt game, like you said, that just maybe they don't have the manpower at that point to really be paying attention to.
And I've done it. I've slept because I was too focused on the almighty pigskin. So I get it. It happens. It happens all the time.
Yes. All right, so let's get your perspective on the Kansas City Chiefs. I know we talked a little bit about Mahomes and the former Chief and Tyreek Hill.
Broncos money line, give it to me. No, just joking.
All right, so here's where this game left off. And I should mention, too, just for context sake, the Chiefs are always going to be a very public play week in, week out. I think we've all become accustomed to that. But the odds have moved from where this line opened at 8 last Sunday afternoon. It has since gone down to 7. Broncos are at home. Chiefs have not lost to the Broncos since 2015. I think they've won their last 13 consecutive games against AFC West opponents. Denver obviously getting a big win at home last week against Green Bay. Let's start with the spread here, Rafael. Do you look at this movement from Denver +8 to +7 as just bettors not understanding the trends that typically come with a home dog that is a dog by more than a touchdown? History will tell you, especially in the second matchup of the season, that more often than not, this is going to be a very advantageous spot. Even if you don't necessarily love the team, it's more of the spot.
What I understood, and I can't mention specifics on this, but heavy money came in on Denver. And normally heavy money, I mean heavy, heavy money. And I think the reason why they accepted that heavy money from multiple places, because they know they're going to get Kansas City money. So I have a feeling, this is just my gut feeling, that some Joe Schmo came up to a sports book and said, hey, can I get XXY on the Denver Broncos? And I'm sure that probably casino, sports book, whatever, said, hey, you know what? Do you want ZZZZ money? We'll give you more money. And you're like, oh, sure, I'll take that money. I'll take that. So I have a feeling that they found someone that wanted Denver, probably asked him, or either that bet went through and others found out, oh, so-and-so bet it, and then they piled on it like they did when Wall Street would bet it. I have a feeling that's what, because I saw the significant amount of money came in on that day where the numbers was starting to slid down to Denver movement. Now I can guarantee you that number is going to go back because, A, it's a late afternoon game. The Kansas City Chiefs are my New England Patriots in the early 20s, 2000s with Tom Brady and all that, when we were begging and praying for Tom Brady not to cover and stuff like that. So Kansas City money will come in and they'll balance the books out. And I don't see Denver winning, but I think that's my story on what happened, because I did see the significant amount of money come in.
Yeah, and the number will back that up as well. According to the latest real-time splits, for DraftKings from VSiN, right now, actually, as we're taping this, 10:04 p.m. Eastern time on the 26th, 84% of the bets are on Kansas City, but 26% of the money has come in on Denver. So a 10% difference between bet percentage and handle percentage, which certainly makes sense as to why that number would move. I guess, give me your overall assessment on this Kansas City team. Going out of the road to Denver, really for any team, is tough, regardless of the talent on the field. But because of Kansas City's familiarity, because of Mahomes' success against Denver over the course of his career, do you look at the 7 and say, this feels like a reasonable number to consider Kansas City? You're getting them at a better number than if you would have bet them at the beginning portion of the week. Or maybe you look at it if it's 7, 7.5 and say, this might be an opportunity to tease Kansas City down to 1, with another team that you like to maybe move it past those numbers of 7-3. What's your assessment as to how you would consider betting this matchup?
I would say bet it now. I mean, because I think it's going to be a very popular straight bet, tease bet, money line bet, parlay bet. And Kansas City is going to be in a lot of tickets. So why would you wait if that does move back to 7.5 and 8 on Saturday or on Sunday kickoff and stuff like that? So if you want to look at, I say if you got like Kansas City, which I do because I'm not sold on Denver at all, I would take it now. If you're going to take the 7, if you're going to tease it and take another team, or if you're going to do that money line parlay, so if you lose, my wife can pay off her addicted Amazon Prime shopping that she does, I would do it now. Because I think me and you both agree there's no way this is going to be 7 at kickoff. I would be totally blown away if it's 6.5 or still stayed at 7 by kickoff. Because I don't think Taylor Swift's going to be there, because that money's not going to be.
Right, that's true. As far as the amount of public money that can move a line back in another direction, is there ever a number, or are the books typically going to follow the professionals and usually stick with it?
They'll follow them, but they'll circle them. So if they have a known professional that bet Denver early, and they see all this public money and all that, I can guarantee you they're emailing, texting them, and stuff like that. Hey, you bet Denver early. You want some more? And stuff like that, because this is I always tell people, when you get barred from a sports, that means you did something dumb or stupid or stuff like that. I used to when I worked in Vegas, I would tell the wise guys and all that, hey, you know what, if you want more action, talk to me, stuff like that. Don't do anything behind my back or when I'm not here, stuff like that. I can give you what you want. I can call the boss and say, hey, you know what, Joe Smith, and his limit's 2200. He's a fair guy. He's always bets. He always is. Gives up all his information, blah, blah, blah. He wants 33 on this game. Sure, give it to him. He wants more in this game. Give it to him. They will give you more if you're treated, respected. And then it's instead of, okay, all those managers are gone, go to the kiosk and just bet all these parlays in right now and key one team. Then, of course, they're going to bar you out there and stuff like that. So I would say stay away from that aspect if you want to try to get the best numbers in Vegas. Introduce yourself to the sportsbook guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, Jeff Benson is a guy that I've had an opportunity to interest myself to over at Circa in Las Vegas, and couldn't have been a nicer guy. And you're right. Like the opportunity to just have a little bit of fun and know that it's part of the industry, like the casual conversation and being able to get a little bit more familiar, because if it's something that you're really enjoying, like you said from the very beginning of the show, Raphael, like this should be fun too. Before I let you go, as far as the rest of the slate goes, I mentioned a few games. I told you I like the Giants this week at +3. Also like Washington at home +7 in another divisional game as a 7-point home dog against a division rival that they played really well on the road from earlier before. Green Bay +1.5 is another one that I'm considering as well. I'll probably end up taking the Chiefs as well if I can keep it at 7 before, like you said, that line moves up. What else on the board do you have your eye on for this week, if anything at all?
I'm going to Monday night. I mean, because I have to be forced to watch Monday Night Raw because I have a pay-per-view next week that to do odds on that one for WWE. But I think more people might be watching Raw because the Lions play the Raiders, and I want nothing to do with the Raiders. We all saw what happened with the Lions at Baltimore. I think Baltimore just scored against their defense again, as me and you are talking right now. I think the Lions defense is going to be up for this challenge because they were embarrassed on TV. I think the offense is going to be rolling. I think the Raiders are not going to be able to stop the run game with Detroit. I'm a little bit shocked in this one. I thought it was going to be higher than the spread is. I think I normally don't like to lay big numbers on this one, but I feel bad for the Raiders. At least the Aces won back-to-back champions for the WNBA, and at least the Golden Knights are perfect as of right now. We're doing the show on Thursday. Because I would feel bad for the Raider fans. Even UNLV football is battling for the Mountain West this week against San Jose State. That's how bad the Raiders is. The UNLV football is better than them.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, I am on the Lions, and I teased them with the Ravens earlier this week to get both of those games down to -2. Ravens might be a little bit too late for that, 9.5 currently against Arizona. But if you're looking for a teaser play with Kansas City, maybe you can go ahead and take the Lions, move them from 8 down to 2. Chiefs from -7 down to -1. Raphael, this was super insightful. This was great knowledge. I love the opportunity to have you on the show. Again, where can everybody find you? Where can they find your work? Where can they find your updated odds? And What more can you share with our people to make sure that you get a nice little bump in your social media?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at VSIDocSports. You can find me at Instagram at Rafael Esparza. You can find me at DocSports.com and my personal website, YouCanBetThat.com. That's you, like the university you. YouCanBetThat.com. I love it just because I try to show the enjoyment of sports betting. I like to call it water cooler talk. If you can go to the office and stuff like that and say, hey, can you know you can bet on this and stuff like that? So it's I was the first person to put up Bigfoot odds in Colorado. So what more can you be enjoyment of?
I think you're spot on. This is so much fun, Rafael. Thank you so much for making time with us here on Betting and the Bets. We'll have to do it again soon.
Anytime.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.